host of Nilsson and Fraser in the morning. Dustin Nilsson joins us. Nilly, how are you doing?
I should have been prepping for this a little bit earlier, man. That's all I can say.
Are you talking the riding the bike in the sauna or calling the FIBAs?
The names. I bumped into Rashog at one of the women's practices this week, and he said, look at it this way, man. He goes, with a lot of these countries, if you screw up a name, nobody's even going to know you're screwing up a name. And I was like, you know what? That seems like a pretty good philosophy to take into this thing. So that's the advice he gave me.
Now, you'll be calling, you're calling all of the games. Who's your analyst?
We're going to run three different former coaches and current coaches through Trix Baker, actually, is one of them.
Okay,
who
nice.
Who obviously coached at U of A for quite a while. And been a part, actually, all three of them have been parts of the Canadian national program and things along those lines. So, I, you know what? That's going to take a lot of pressure off me because these three women know a ton about basketball and a lot about, I don't know how it's possible to know a lot about a lot of these, you know, like Cuba and some of the Puerto Rico and some of these teams that they're going to be playing, but they do, so that's going to be nice.
Well, Cuba and Brazil are definitely the two biggest opponents in this tournament, and, you know, it's a very, you know, this is a legit tournament, lots on the line with the Olympic berth.
Yeah, a ton on the line. What this does is it just takes a lot of stress off your program moving forward, right? Because the States have already clinched. They won this event last year, so that's how they've got in. Canada's able to do that now, then they'll avoid the Olympic qualifying tournament. There's going to be six spots open in the Olympic qualifying tournament, but if you can win this event, especially at home, which would be cool, then you take yourself out of all the worry. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at it, Canada's going to get one of those six spots at the Olympic qualifying tournament anyway, but it would be nice to take this route and lock yourself in there with the United States at this point.
And are you hearing any update on Brazil? I'm hearing they're maybe in a little hot water because they owe some money and they might not get a guaranteed host berth.
You know what? We were talking about this at practice on Thursday, and I haven't heard an update on it yet, and I thought I would have at this point. So basically what the story was at practice on Thursday is that you're right. They were under review, and I don't know if there's been a result on it yet, but I would assume there would have been by now, but I haven't seen anything. They're under review because of some financial things that did not look good. They were trying to determine if they were going to get the automatic host berth or not, and that kind of was going to change the lineup that they were going to bring, because if they had already had the automatic host berth, they were just going to bring the lineup that they had at the Pan Am Games. However, if they hadn't, I heard that they may bring their full on Olympic team, but it seemed like it was kind of a short turnaround to bring it in, but I haven't seen an update yet, so I'm assuming it's kind of just status quo right now. We'll probably see the team that from my perspective, I hope we see the team that I've prepped for, I guess.
When was the last time you called basketball?
Last time I called basketball would have been in college. I did basketball in college for two seasons, so it's been a little while, but I love basketball. I played basketball growing up, so it's kind of, I know basketball. It's actually, as far as sports I probably know, basketball would be the one that kind of comes the most naturally to me. So, and you know what, basketball, I love, you know what, when you're not doing rush games, I have an opportunity to do rush games, and it's kind of similar to calling lacrosse, to be honest with you. One possession one way, one possession the other way, you get a chance to reset. So I like it. It goes by pretty quick, actually.
No, basketball, I had the opportunity to call a few games many years ago at the U of A. It was a fun sport, but it's one that to know all the intricacies, I think, allows it to be better. I know you used to play basketball, so you enjoyed it. Will you be dunking on yourself during your broadcast?
We'll have to see. I mean, maybe, probably not the Canadian ones, but for some of these other ones. My first one on Sunday involves the Virgin Islands, so I don't know if we're going to have a large following for that. For that broadcast, so we'll see. I might be able to fit one in, or I'll give my color analyst the opportunity. I'll say, here, look, just say this if I'm not doing a good job. So we'll see how it goes down.
What were your thoughts on the Eskimo? A fun stat for you: the Eskimos prior to last night's gamble, they were 8 for 21, 38% on second down and 4 to 6 yards. Over the last 15 years, CFL kickers have been 70% between the 40 and the 49, and have been 65% between the 45 and the 49. It doesn't make sense to me why, and I don't care if Grant Shaw is supposedly better from the left hash mark to the right hash mark. You need your kicker to be able to kick from both, and you're never going to know if he does if you never do it in a game.
Yeah, well, first thing I thought was, wow, this is going to be great for the post-game show tonight, because people were fired up, so that was awesome. That's a selfish broadcaster in me, but I mean, those are good stats that you have. I don't know if you heard the Jones post game from last night, but he said they looked at their stats and their charts and decided that that wasn't the best decision to make. And I'm sorry, the stats tell me that Grant Shaw's hit 21 in a row. We had somebody text in this morning that said that they had heard that Shaw was 5 for 5 from 52 in warmups, and the roof was open, I believe, in warmups last night. By the time it came around for an opportunity for him to tie the game, it wasn't. It was closed. It was, I mean, if you're looking for an ideal situation outside of it being on the right hash as opposed to the left, I don't know if you're going to get a better situation to bring out the best kicker in the league right now. And the guy hasn't missed it forever. He's been perfect this season. But it kind of boggled my mind, especially with the fact that the offense, usually you'd think, oh, picking up 4 yards is rather reasonable. But with the way the offense was playing in the second half, I don't even know if you could have faith in that. So bizarre. And to be honest with you, if I'm Grant Shaw, I'm sitting there on the sideline going, come on, man, give me a chance to kick. 48 yards, I can make this one. But I don't know, it was bizarre. A couple of the calls in the game were bizarre. And I'm sure you probably, and I don't know, maybe it's the other way, but I thought the play calling in the second half was
terrible.
Way too conservative. I don't know what they're doing there. And they got stopped on a short yardage play where they kept Nichols in a quarterback where you have Lynch for those situations. I mean, that's the reason he's on the team. So there was a couple of interesting calls. And at least Jones said after the game, he said we were outplayed and we were outcoached in the second half because it was very apparent that they were outcoached. He had to say that.
Yeah, well, I think he had to say that because I think it was true in the second half. Like, you have 196 passing yards and 94 in the first half, and you're not attacking downfield. Now, I know Darius Bowman wasn't in, but who cares? Kenny Stafford's been your most reliable receivers for the last few weeks of the season, and if you can't stretch the field with the other guys, then you don't have simply enough good guys. And I don't think they look to stretch the field often enough. I thought they played way too conservative and felt like, you know what, we're going to win the game with our defense.
Yeah, that's the exact thought I had. And we talked about it at the halftime show on Dino's show. We talked about, you know what, you know, do they need to score more points to win this game? And with the way the defense had played outside of that first possession, you think, okay, well, maybe they don't. Clearly, that's what they were thinking as well. I went back through the plays this morning in that second half, and it was you know, 6 yards to Kenny Stafford, 4 yards to Bailey. That's essentially all you kept seeing. I don't know, I don't know how much of that is on Matt Nichols. But a couple of the plays I watched, I mean, yeah, he's going to, it's a little screen pass or he's just kind of, you know, throwing it to Simpson coming out of the backfield. And there are no other options for him because the wide receivers and the rest of the slot backs are waiting to block for the play that they've called. So it didn't seem to make much sense to me after the way they played in the first half. You're thinking, okay, well, you know, this was good. Nichols looked pretty good in the first half. Keep it going. And I know you're right. Losing a Darius Bowman is one thing, but Bowman hadn't been targeted that much in the first half anyway, and he had a critical drop in the first half. Kenny Stafford seemed to be the guy, and whether Bowman's on the field or not, I think Stafford's able to get deep a couple of times, and they didn't really look to him. I think maybe there was the one pass in the second half where they kind of looked deep to Kenny Stafford, and that was the one that was almost picked. But outside of that, there really wasn't too much.
Just a quick update for you, Nilly, because I know you're a huge Jays fan. Donaldson went deep in the top of the first. It is 1-0 Jays.
That guy's unreal right now.
Oh, he is on fire. You know what? If he continues this, he might give Trout a run for MVP.
Yeah, if they were to make the postseason, I think it'd be pretty close. And Mike Trout's a phenomenal player. Albert Pujols is doing some pretty good things there this year as well. So Donaldson, Trout would be. And think about that, how good Trout is. Donaldson's going to be in the mix for an AL MVP. That's amazing.
I know you didn't go to Seattle this year. Now that the Jays are good, are you trying to get a trip to Toronto?
You know, I was. We looked because I got this basketball for the next week. It finishes the Sunday the 16th. So I looked at my wife. I said, you know what? I still got a few holidays. Let's check it out. And literally from the day this tournament ends until 2 weeks later when I am going to Lethbridge for our big fantasy hockey draft, there's no home games for the Jays. They're on the road for that entire stretch. So unless we want to go down to L.A. or Philadelphia, which is fine. I've been to both those places, and they're awesome. That's probably the only place we're going to be able to get to see them.
Okay, wait. You travel to Lethbridge for a fantasy hockey draft?
Oh, yeah, man. It's a huge day. Once a year, we go down. We have our football draft in the afternoon. We have our hockey draft in the early evening, and then we go out after. It's an extravaganza of drafting.
It could be worse, man.
I could be a one. I can keep track of my Canadian Football League draft on a spreadsheet. come on. I can't believe I found that out last night. We're watching the game, and he's like, I said, well, which website do you use for your four-man Canadian Football League fantasy league? He goes, we don't use websites because none of them are good. I said, well, how do you keep track? He goes, I do it once a week on this spreadsheet. I was like, oh, my God. That's worse than what I got going on.
Well, the CFL website has been terrible this year. They're actually they had their big announcement today that they will be upgrading it and have a new website unveiled here, hopefully by Labor Day.
Their game pass is useless.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Well, there's guys who have had interceptions that it's not even listed as an interception on their stat sheet. Yeah,
that's awful. I talked to Dino about this last night after his show. They only have to monitor one game at a time. There's never two games at the same time. I mean, it can't be that much of a workload on whatever your website, you know, server is or whoever's updating it. It's pathetic.
Dustin Nielsen joins us, host of Nielsen and Fraser in the Morning, starting Sunday night. Sunday night, I guess, is the Canada game. So the Virgin Island games goes in the afternoon.
Yeah, what they're doing, there's a game earlier that we're not doing. The FIBA broadcast, we're just going to do that one like online for the rest of the world, and then we're doing the Virgin Island games. That one's just on TSN Go. And then starting with that Canada game at 6:30 on Sunday, the rest of the games from that point on, I think 95% of the games from that point on are on TSN 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5, or whatever.
And Canada taking on Puerto Rico, and based coming into this tournament, Canada's heavily favored to win the first one.
Yeah, they should be heavily favored to win the first one. You nailed it at the beginning. I mean, the toughest game, and if you're looking to come out to one, the game against Cuba, the final game of the round robin, should be the one. That will probably be their stiffest competition through the round robin. Cuba lost to the States by one at the Pan Am Games, and they were close against Canada as well. So they should have be a pretty formidable team to go up against. But the Puerto Rico's got one girl that I've been looking at so far. She's pretty good, but I don't know if they have I know they don't have the depth that Canada has. So that should be I don't want to say easy, but it should be a rather comfortable way to start the event at home for them.
I know you have a home run song for pretty much every Jays player now, it seems. So it's kind of, you know, you might be milking it a bit too much, okay? Like, is Goins going to get a home run song next?
Who?
Goins?
Well, he did have a home run last week.
I know.
Earlier this week. Yeah, well, you know what? We have legitimate ones right now for Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson. We're on the process of determining one for Tulowitzki, and Fraze put together one day for Russell Martin. I don't know if we're going to go with that or not, but I mean, you know what? It saved a few slow mornings in the summer. I'll tell you that, and I'll take that.
And is Encarnacion still your favorite?
Oh, man, why do you have to ask that question? I Donaldson and Tulowitzki are unreal, but...
No, but the home run song, I mean.
Oh, the home run. Oh, yeah. Home run. Well, I like the swing batter one from Trace Adkins for Jose Bautista, but the original is always the best, so I'll have to stick with Encarnacion.
I was going to ask you, maybe you should get a double song for him because he just hit another double. So.
Did he? Yeah, and he had two last night.
Yeah, no, he's on a little.
You know what? When he gets hot, he's hot. That's good timing.
Yeah, if he's starting to heat up, the Jays' top four is it's pretty good, and now it's downright scary. And I'm sure you, along with many other Jays fans, I think Jays' fever has definitely gripped Canada for the first time in a few decades.
Man, I hope so. I became a fan of the Jays the last time they were really good, and I was only 12 years old. Hopefully, you know, if they can make some sort of run here, maybe another generation of Jays fans will hop on board.
Who was your favorite Jay?
Boy, that's a tough call, too. From those championship teams, I always liked Kelly Gruber. A little bit out. Juan Guzman sucked me in for a while.
I had sick hair, man. I loved the hair.
And his glove. He had the blue glove. Yeah. Guzman was an absolute stud. And then Matt Stairs is my favorite baseball player of all time. So when he was on the Blue Jays, he was definitely one of my favorite players. But those teams they won those World Series with are so stacked. And you could have had any four or five different guys be your favorite player.
Alomar was my favorite player just because his defense was just off the charts good.
And he had the commercial, Catch the Taste.
Yeah, that was good. Awesome. And when he went deep on Eckersley in the postseason,
yes.
Boom.
Yeah, a guy that doesn't have a ton of power crushes one out, that's the best.
And right away, hands – like he did like the Messier goal-scoring celebration with his home run shot right away. That was awesome.
He knew it. It was a no-doubter.
Yeah. Well, Nielsen, we will be watching. Good luck. And I know we're getting many texts from listeners saying they would love to if one of the technicians can somehow dunk on yourself, that would be phenomenal.
That would be pretty epic. Give me a couple of days to get to know these people, and then we'll see what they can accomplish.
Oh, really? So you want the listeners to give you sympathy, kind of like you do to Lieutenant Eric? I don't see that happening.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. All right, man. Good luck. Enjoy it.
Okay, see you, man. Thanks.